Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.
Good Thursday morning to all.
Sound a lot better.
The voice is about...
Getting ready for New Orleans. You feel a lot better?
I got to, you know, it's about trying to peak at the right time. I'm about a 6 on a 10 scale.
We got a big show. Jay Billis is going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour.
In studio.
Yeah, in studio right
walking
here.
Through the French doors.
Yeah, through the French doors.
Nice.
Sitting at the table.
Get that Holly Farm Award out. Dust it off. We got ready to go.
It's right there.
That's it.
Florida State defensive tackle Marvin Wilson makes a return visit to this program from Tallahassee.
He was good the first time.
Yes, he was. And the big fella is coming back to play for Mike Norvell. We'll talk about that decision. There were a lot who thought he was an absolute slam dunk for a first-round pick.
Yep.
And then Double O, Eric Montross.
Makes his television debut with us.
See you later. Big Grits will join us. We'll talk to him at 9 o'clock. And we'll start there because last night – North Carolina plays better, hits shots, lost.
I said to you yesterday that I thought Roy Williams, who was incredibly honest with his approach about his team, was talking to his team and not necessarily the media taking a page out of Dabo's book. I know his team responded, Wes. Hey, it's 32-18. They're making shots. Fans are kind of in the game.
Playing hard.
They're playing hard. There's an energy about them.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the second half, Pittsburgh decided to go
Golden State.
Boy, they made everything they looked at. And they were awesome. And those guards, you know how good they are. But, man, they made everything they looked at.
Champagne started knocking down threes.
Dude, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I know North Carolina played better. But you know what? Pitt played better and won the game.
So did this guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a player.
Carolina led by 9, and you see the graphic. Lost at home when leading by 9 for the first time since 1997.
But let's get something straight, though, Wes. Pitt won the game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was
no question.
You know, so before folks go crazy today at 844-ACCN, understand something. North Carolina played better.
But Pitt won the game.
Played enthusiastic. But Pittsburgh won the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't one of those things where, hey, you know, we just rolled over, played dead. It was Georgia Tech. We really weren't into it in the first. No.
Pitt won the game.
Pitt said, hey, we're spotting you 14, and now we're going to come get you.
Yeah.
And they did.
And here's the other thing. Panthers also do something. They snap a 22-game ACC road losing streak in the process that dates back almost 3 full years, Pac.
Yep.
The other part is, same day they get this win, Jeff Capel gets a 2-year extension from athletics director Heather Like. Well deserved. I mean, that guy's done a phenomenal job rebuilding the Pittsburgh basketball brand. And by the way, the Panthers show a little resilience. You lose the tough ball game Saturday at home to Wake Forest at the Pete.
And that one got away from them.
Yep.
I mean, you're up 22-6.
And now what does Capel's team do?
Yep.
They fight back. They find a way to get a win. And beat Carolina in Chapel Hill. First win in Chapel Hill for Pittsburgh, by the way, since joining the ACC.
What are you going to do? You know, and here's the other thing, too. I know we're going to get into more Roy Williams in North Carolina, but I want to angle this a little differently at the start and because I think a lot of folks are just going to talk about North Carolina, North Carolina, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Hey, this Pitt team's pretty good now, all right?
Right.
And this is one of those teams, and before the season started, I've pointed, in my opinion, I thought they were the most likely team to go from the bottom third to the middle part of the pack. And the reason for it is backcourt play.
Mm-hmm.
And you better have guards in college basketball. I don't care who you are. And last year, you know, Pitt said, hey, we got 2 talented freshmen. We're going to take our lumps. There'll be nights they really look great. There'll be nights where they get overwhelmed. But they got a ton of experience last year. And that's why those guys coming back, the way Capel coaches, I thought that, you know, with good guards, you can kind of finagle your way through it. And I think it's exactly what Pitt's doing. That was a big time win for them last night.
No question. I thought that was an important win for Pittsburgh, especially going to Miami on Sunday. And those are two teams that are kind of like right there in that area where, you know, you're trying to make that move to the middle ground, if you will, the ACC, what we know behind the 3 brand names at this point, 4 brand names, whatever, however many number you want to subscribe to there at the top. But I thought Pittsburgh played very well. McGowan's and Johnson clearly drive it. But I also think he's got some other complimentary guys. Champagne, I was mentioning, other guys that are just helping, you know, them get better as a program.
Yep. Here's the other thing. This league already, you can tell. Here we are, January the 9th. We said yesterday, there's three things we absolutely know about this league. Duke's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State's playing extremely well.
Yep.
And Louisville's really dangerous. All right, yep. Those are the three givens right now of ACC basketball. If you didn't hear your name called, we don't know what in the world you're going to do. But here's what I do know, Wes. If you can have a week where you go 2-0, you're going places.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you take a snapshot of the standings, there's a bunch of ones in the win column and a couple, hey, can we get to 500s?
Right.
So if you can give me a 2-0 week,
right,
you're getting ready to jump over about 7 or 8 teams.
Totally agree.
And that's why we have fun with accounting and have no earthly idea on Mondays when we lay this thing out to you. Because really, 3 of the 15 teams, you kind of have a pretty good handle on right mm-hmm. now. The other 12, hey, it's a hit and miss deal literally every night.
I think that what we're looking at is a Carolina team that is, you knew what you were getting historically with Carolina. Good shooting, transition, fast break, certain degree of depth. This Carolina team is not that. And Roy Williams didn't back off his comments from Monday night's radio show last night after the game, but he did kind of give you a history lesson of this particular team in context of what he said earlier in the year and what he thinks it'll mean to his team going forward.
Gifted. What did I come in here and say to you guys after the Elon game and the Gordon Webb game? I said to you that we were more gifted than the other team, and that's the reason we won the game. I wasn't pleased with the way we played. And I said to my team, once we get into ACC play, we're not going to be more gifted than the other team. And with the team that I said out there on the floor, you can look. I've got one McDonald's All-American out there because Cole's not playing. And, you know, we've had some teams that have had a lot more than that. So I stand by that. Anybody that wants to make something, that's their prerogative. I mean, you know, I'm not going to be perfect, never have been perfect, don't really care to be perfect. I just made a statement that if anybody in here disagrees with it, that's your prerogative. But my guess is if you look at it, you'd probably agree. So I'm stunned by how it gets so much attention. But you know what? I don't know if you guys don't tell me. If he doesn't tell me, I didn't know it, because frankly, my dear, I don't read that BS.
Let me tell you something. I don't even understand why people are on Roy's case about it.
I don't have a problem with what he said.
What he said is not only is he right, he also knows more about his team than anybody else on the planet.
Exactly.
And so for people to be saying, I can't believe Roy Williams says his team's not gifted, compared to the standard by which North Carolina basketball has been
exactly.
for, I don't know, 40 years. This isn't a gifted team. I mean, he's being completely honest. And the funny thing about it, Wes, you know, how many times, I don't care if we're talking about politicians, entertainers, sports figures, broadcasters. Hey, what's wrong with being honest? He's getting ripped by some people for telling the truth.
Right.
And you know what? Last night was a perfect example of what he was talking about. They're up 14. They were not good enough to close the deal because Pitt played better than they did. Period. So I don't even understand why people are going crazy on Roy Williams. Hey, if you're a North Carolina fan and you're disappointed being 8-7 or whatever the record is, I get it. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Well, get ready.
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
But let me ask
Roy
you.
Williams is basically telling you exactly what he sees. And for anybody getting on his case, and I mean, come on, man. He's telling you the exact truth. I got no problem with it.
Armando Bacot, by the way, you see the quote on the screen. When I saw it, I felt it was kind of true. Honestly, I don't think Coach means no harm by right. it. He believes in us. He's just keeping it real.
Exactly right.
And you know what?
Exactly right.
What did we say in October when we asked every coach? You said,
give me one
word. And what did most say?
Unknown. You know, it was a complete, we're walking into the darkness.
Vague. Yeah. And no clue, right?
These are the coaches, not us idiot talking heads. So what Roy Williams told you is 100% right, and I don't know why people are getting on his case. I mean, there are basketball people that I respect that I've heard say, I can't believe he'd say that about his team. Well, maybe he should have sat behind closed doors, but what he said is pretty much spot on. Spot on. And nobody knows their team better than that guy.
And I think sometimes people get the old Roy from – you know, Asheville and Spruce Pine all in the weeds about, well, you know, sometimes he says something he shouldn't say. And that, well, guess what?
Welcome to the club.
The clarity of his basketball team, same thing we said in football, by the way.
Yeah.
When we had all people calling in about who should play here and what are these coaches doing and they're not playing this guy.
NC State fans all over Dave Dorn. Like,
for not playing Devin Leary.
Dave Dorn knows more about his team than anybody sitting on the couch, yeah. I can assure you.
It's amazing.
So, but, you know, we're not sitting here jumping on a defend the coach at all costs routine because, hey, North Carolina's not very good. Let's be honest. That was a preseason top 10 team that is just between injuries and just not playing well. It is what it is. They're 8-7. And right now they look like a far, far reach. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff that's got to happen for them to become an NCAA tournament team. But to get on Roy Williams' case is kind of crazy. The guy's being honest.
Well, and yesterday afternoon, you know I'm on in Raleigh on a regular basis with Adam Golden, Joe Ovius on ESPN 99.9, the fan up there. And I said to him, I said, of the players Carolina's going to put on the floor tonight, and I read six guys that played last year's team, on last year's Carolina team. Anybody better than those guys? No.
No.
Remember what we were talking about in the preseason. Garrison Brooks was the most productive player coming back to Carolina this year. We thought they had a chance because Cole Anthony was really good. And you know what? Early on, Cole Anthony was really good. But I think he just hit it on the head in the cut when he said, I told you boys after Elon and Gardner-Webb, we won the game because we were more gifted. But then he followed up and doubled down and said, that night he also told his team, we're not going to win games in the ACC because we're not going to be more gifted. Carolina has been stymied in their improvement as a basketball team. Now, you want to take a positive from this if you're a Tar Heel fan? You played a lot better last night than you did Saturday. Not only did you just make shots, you played better in transition. You played better defensively. But guess what? It wasn't good enough to beat Pittsburgh.
No, Pittsburgh was a better team last night.
Pittsburgh was a better team last night.
No doubt.
And to be honest with you, I know what Saturday is. I know. 59-0 all time against the Mighty Tigers.
Let me ask you a crazy question.
Okay.
Regarding the streak. I asked Brad Brown that question yesterday.
I know
how
did.
Often did you ask? And he just totally stiff-armed it, right? Just say, we don't even bring it up. And I may be nuts on this. I think the streak's more important to North Carolina than it is Clemson. as crazy as that sounds.
I'll give you one.
Do you agree or disagree with that? I think it's a bigger deal to North Carolina than it is Clemson. And I'm not telling you that Clemson fans, players, coaches, administrators don't want to win the game. Of course they do. You want to win every game you play.
Right.
But I think the streak is more of a burden, if you will. Maybe burden's not the right word. But of importance to North Carolina, who's won 59.
You'll know if they don't win Saturday.
Right. Now, for example, if I said to a Clemson fan, hey, I'm going to give you A or B. One of these is going to happen. You pick. You're going to beat North Carolina for the very first time.
Or win the national title Monday night.
Saturday in Chapel Hill. You're going to be 1-59 when you get out of bed on Sunday.
Or beat LSU.
You're going to beat LSU, whether it be by 1 or 100.
They want to win Monday night.
I would tell you, a Clemson fan would tell you, 100% of Clemson Nation would go, man, I don't care about that thing Saturday if we lose.
Right.
But, man, if we win Monday,
we won three out of four.
Yeah. We'll catch you later.
I said that yesterday.
You want to talk about 0-60? Yeah, that's cool. Why don't you come over and kiss these rings?
Adam and Joe asked me that question yesterday.
I mean, I'm convinced
Clemson fan would take Monday night over Saturday.
Oh, I don't even think it's a debate.
Okay. All right.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Tonight in ACC Hoops, we're going to start with Steve in South Carolina. Steve, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you today?
Okay.
Good. Right quick, I'm a Tar Heel fan, Pack, and I called in December and predicted and got a conversation going that the Tar Heels would not be ranked January 1. And want to add to that, as much as I hate it, I'm going to predict that the Tar Heels will not beat Clemson on Saturday.
Okay. Well, you're on a roll. I got that going for you.
I'm going out on a limb, right?
Well, I mean, you know, and here's the other thing. I mean, we've talked about what Roy has said and how this team has played. Mm-hmm. And Wes, you just did a Clemson game. I thought that was the best they played all year.
Absolutely.
Coach even said it yesterday.
Yeah, they hit eight threes in the first half. And Carolina gave me – now, Pack is exactly right when he says Pittsburgh was the better team and won the game last night. But Carolina played better. Now, the question is, Steve, can they take that and play better Saturday? Can they take it and – little steps are only going to solve this problem. They're not going to be any big leaps and bounds here. It's just not in the cards with this team. But what you can do is get better incrementally, and I think Carolina has a chance to do that. I don't know if that can happen. You're going to have to play better at both ends of the floor again on Saturday to beat a Clemson team, because here's the thing. Amir Sims, he's an undersized big, but he makes a lot happen for that team. Now, I think you're better than Clemson, but – fragile.
No, I get that. But you know, Clemson doesn't shoot like Pitt did in the second half last night. Pitt shot, what, 58% in the second half?
Yeah, they shot like Golden State last night. Good Golden State, by the way.
And they were but here's the thing. There were so many wide open looks.
That's what concerns me.
That's the problem. I mean, it's one thing to make shots. It's another thing to be out there. I mean, no disrespect. You and I eventually make some threes if nobody's going to guard us.
I think the encouraging signs for Carolina last night were – Brooks and Baycott played well together and did some really good things inside. If Carolina can reset a little bit of their inside presence on a night-in, night-out basis, I think that helps. Here's my bigger concern.
Okay.
My bigger concern is with the way the guard situation is playing out, last night when it was a one-possession game, inside I want to say about 3.5,
it looked like Keystone Cops out there, man.
Jeremiah Francis had a wide-open look
and
barely got to the rim.
Barely got to the rim, is right.
And
had
I
a chance to get it to one.
Wow.
It was like 67-63.
And I'm thinking, you know what?
That's the shot. You got to make it.
If Joel Berry had that shot, if other guys have had that shot. And look, Jeremiah Francis, good young player, but he's not ready to make that shot yet. That's what Roy Williams is talking about. That's in a nutshell. That's what he's talking about.
And I know people are going to go crazy with this game Saturday, 0-59. I just don't think this is an ultra talented Clemson team. I mean, everybody's been talking about gifted and talent and all that stuff this week. You know, like counting, I got them 15th.
Yeah, no.
This is not a team that comes in there roaring. If they're going to make a ton of shots and score 85 points.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's not really who they are.
Yeah. Interesting night in basketball. Pack said, I said good night. You said competitive night.
It was a competitive night.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Atlanta because Duke has posted now 13 straight wins over Georgia Tech. It's their longest active winning streak against any ACC opponent. Blue Devils win last night 73-64. And those of you wondering if Trey Jones was back, he's back. Tell you who else is back. Matthew Hurt. You know who else is in the fold? Alex O'Connell. Watch this punch. By the way, the Goldwire O'Connell ticket run last night in Metro Atlanta must have been significant. Alex O'Connell from Roswell, Jordan Goldwire from Norcross. And number two, by the way, is a bona fide high wire act in the open floor. Those of you that, might have heard through urban legend that Cassius Stanley had a little vertical about
him. My goodness. I thought he was going to dunk it with his knees. But you know what? If you did not watch this game last night, it's tied with just over 4 minutes to go. I mean, that's if you just see the score and you go, oh, man, they're showing highlights. There's 18 dunks by Duke. Duke wins 73-64. That was anybody's game of 4 minutes.
Yeah, whoever cut the highlights forgot to put one of James Banks' 7 blocks in there.
No, Georgia Tech was scrappy last night.
They played hard.
They were more than just competitive. With 4 minutes and 20 seconds to go, if you turned off the television watching it and went to bed – first thing you did is get up this morning and I wonder who won the game. Because you did not know who was going to win that game with 4 minutes to go in the game.
But you know what you can write down about Georgia Tech and Duke? Turnovers.
Yeah.
That'd be one.
Yeah.
Field goal percentage. Duke is a guarding basketball team, Packer.
Well, they also weren't very good from the line.
Duke?
They did not make life easy for them from the free throw line. But this is the best team in the league on January the 9th.
Yeah.
They're the best team.
Yeah.
Now, Florida State, can they beat them? Sure. Can Louisville beat them? Sure they can. Anybody else? We'll see.
Georgia Tech, by the way, plus 9 rebounds last night, plus 3, minus 3 turnover margin.
Well, like I said, 4 minutes ago in the game, whoever made the most plays down the stretch won, and the answer is Duke.
Surprising that Duke's 3-point numbers last night, they were 50%, they were 6 of 12. But Duke is not as nearly reliant on, man, I got to hit this three, as maybe some Duke teams have been in the past.
I agree, and their bench play has been much better. They're getting production, consistent production off the bench. And here's the other thing.
Jordan Cornett theory of 10.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing about this game last night, if you're a Georgia Tech fan. You know what? You were more than competitive, could have won the game with 4 minutes to go, and DeVoe didn't really play very well. He had a tough night trying to throw it in the ocean, and normally he's been really good. Yeah. And he really struggled last night against Duke. So, again, competitive game, entertaining game. But Duke, once again, proves that they're one of the best teams in the country, and I think the team to beat right now in the ACC.
Rob in Pennsylvania with Packer and Durham. Hi, Rob.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Yeah, I'm a University of Pittsburgh fan. I guess I won't be too popular on this phone call, but kind of calling about you know, some of the things that have been said by Roy Williams. You know, I agree coaches say things that sometimes they don't exactly mean. But, you know, Pitt didn't have one McDonald's American, All-American on the floor last night.
Well, look, we said this at the top, and Jeff Capel and his staff, they deserve a tremendous amount of credit. And Mark said this a couple months ago, and I think any of us that watched them play last year knew McGowan's and Johnson could move Pittsburgh from the bottom to the middle of the ACC. And Pitt won the game last night. It's not that Carolina lost the game. Pittsburgh was the better team.
Second half, they went out and got it.
Yeah, and look,
not played North Carolina.
I think for the most part, you know, across the board, we've been encouraged by what we've seen from Pittsburgh this year. Now, you had a great opening night win against Florida State, and then you give it back with a loss to Nichols. Sure, but you have not let the season get away from you. You have maintained a competitive balance to this thing where I still think there's a lot of important basketball in front of you. And to be honest, if I'm a Pitt fan such as you, I'd be incredibly encouraged with the win last night and what you have going forward. And I'd be pretty excited about Sunday night in Miami, too. And
here's the other thing, too. If I'm a Pitt fan, you know what? The Wake Forest game felt like it got away from you. I mean, that was one you figured, hey, we're up 22-6 at home. Mm-hmm. We win this game.
Yeah.
Right? And now at the end of the game, you kind of got outplayed by the Deeks. Kind of felt like you let one get away that you probably should have had in your back pocket. Last night, you had one that was getting away from you. You're down 32-18. Crowd's into the game. North Carolina seems enthused.
Pretty excited, yeah.
Right. And now you're Pitt. You say, hey, you know what? Enough of this. Let's go get it. And, again, that second half, you shoot 58%, making all kinds of bombs. You kind of feel like you got one back last night if you're a Pitt fan.
I'll tell you the other thing, too. In previous administrations, it would have gotten away from you.
Right. All no question. No, there's no doubt
about it. But not with this coach and not with this program.
Not with these guards either.
No.
I've liked them from day one.
Yeah. No, Pitt is doing a really good job. And Jeff Capel deserves an immense amount of credit for the patience that he's showing. And I'll go back to the patience of Heather Like. You know why? Because he got a long contract when he got the job and got a 2-year extension yesterday. It's incredibly well deserved.
Sure. No question. He's doing a good job.
It's marked how improved they are in the last couple of years, just from where he started to where he is now. I'd be very excited about Pittsburgh.
Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm putting them in the upper third, but I do think, you know, what we thought.
Middle ground.
I think they're definitely solid middle, in my opinion.
Yep.
Now, again, you ask me this a week from now, when we start doing accounting, like I said, in a week, you go 2-0 in a week, man, you make some ground in this league the way it's going.
We're going to steer to football. We got a couple other games we got to highlight from the night in basketball as well. Jay Billis joining us at 8:00 tonight.
Good comeback by NC State.
Tonight, 8:00 this morning.
Yeah, this morning. But Marvin, NC State's comeback last night was strong.
Yes, it was.
We'll get into that.
Marvin Wilson will be here from Florida State. Eric Montross, the Tar Heel legend, now works on the Tar Heel Sports Network with Jones Angel, will join us at 9:00, from Chapel Hill. We'll review the night in hoops and, also, if Clemson wins Monday night, does Trevor supplant Deshaun? We'll ask an alum sitting at the table here.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Real quick, Florida State beat Wake Forest 78-68. Deacons kind of slow started again. I mean, Danny Manning's got to be a little concerned about the way they leave the gate.
You know, Brown didn't play.
Yeah, no, Sean D. Brown out again.
That's a big loss.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of points because that dude can light it up like a Christmas tree when he's on.
But they got tied. They got the ball game in the second half, tied it up.
How about the Deeks going to the line 22 times in the first half? How about 22 free throw attempts in the first half? I'm just, that's a little
index card
infamous note. ACC index card nugget.
By the way, Florida State wins a road game as an AP top 10 team for the first time since 1993.
Well, I will just say
that's
this.
That's like that Rodney Dobar, Doug Edwards kind of thing, isn't it?
I will just say this.
Yeah.
The luck of the Packer and Durham guest appearance. Joe just goes for 20 last night, leading the Deacs. LaSalle goes for what, 17?
Yeah.
Forrest had 14 points, 10 rebounds. All guys that appeared on this program within the last three or four days.
Look at that. Four consecutive ACC wins by double digits for the first time since joining the league.
They're a good team, man.
All right.
Dan Bonner. I'm going to give Dan Bonner all the credit. He was the only guy that was barking at the ACC media tip-off mm-hmm. who said, hey, why isn't nobody talking about Florida State?
Yep.
He was right.
Wolfpack beat Notre Dame, NC State. Nice rally in the second half for Kevin Keats' team.
They were in trouble in that game.
Oh, Russ. Yeah. But, I mean, if you want to talk about the big winners last night, I would put Pitt and NC State at the top of the heap.
Totally agree. 100%.
Teams that lost disappointing games on Saturday, turn around, find ways to win on Wednesday, and kind of marginalize the impact of a road trip or marginalize the impact of a tough loss. And now come back, get a good win. This is a good game, too, by the way. Pfluger, no Pfluger for Notre Dame, and no C.J. Bryce for NC State. In fact, before the game last night on the NC State Athletics Twitter feed, Jeff Gravely, our old friend from the Big Five in Raleigh, gets a pregame interview with Kevin Keats, who says that Bryce is yet to practice. So he is in the protocol for the concussion, but it may be a while for C.J. Bryce, and it doesn't look like it'll be Saturday in Blacksburg when they meet Virginia Tech, by the way.
Another important game. But, you know, State was down last night 51-39, mm-hmm. and you got a sense, hey, you know what, it's early, I know. It was kind of a gut check kind of game. We talked about it. It was one of those leapfrog games in terms of the standings.
Yep.
And Notre Dame's probably looking back at that one going, man, a lot. We had a chance to close it. But it was two games on Tobacco Road last night where, you know, State's down 12, come back and win. North Carolina's up 14, lose the lead, Pitt gets them. These are the kind of games where I think we're going to get a bunch of these type of games
right.
moving on, given the fact that we really have no sense from teams really right now from 4 to 15 on a given night. You just don't know what you're going to get.
All right, more coming up in basketball with Jay Billis, top of the hour, when he joins us here in the basement for an extended segment. We moved to Monday night.
Yes, sir.
And obviously the national championship games at the Louisiana Superdome in New Orleans. But from the Clemson perspective, you know the stakes. If the Tigers win, it's 3 out of 4. Trevor Lawrence wins national championships in his first 2 years. But broad stroke now. And Brad Edwards puts this in perspective for us as he looks at Lawrence's numbers. Is there a chance with a win Monday night after just 2 years at Tigertown, Trevor Lawrence becomes the greatest Tiger of them all?
Lawrence with the rush coming! Finds T. Higgins! Touchdown! That kid cannot be 19 years old.
Trevor Lawrence will be the first freshman quarterback to lead his team to the national championship since 1985.
After dominating the playoff in his true freshman season, expectations for Trevor Lawrence were sky high.
There's a ton of Heisman hype around Trevor Lawrence.
He's going to be the number one pick in the draft.
But for the first half of this season, something was missing. Too few throws were on target to his receivers, and way too many went into the hands of opposing players. In the second half of the season, Lawrence stopped pressing so much for the big play and settled for the smarter play. There was an increased focus on the intermediate range, 5 to 20 yards downfield. Lawrence's accuracy increased with these passes, and the Tigers became more prolific on offense.
Deep ball to Higgins, he got it! Touchdown! What a throw by Trevor Lawrence!
How about that throw by Trevor Lawrence? Are you kidding me?
That meant fewer deep shots, but with a renewed confidence, Lawrence became more efficient with the long ball and began to look like the QB we saw at the end of last season. Since week 9, Lawrence has the second best total QBR in college football, barely behind a guy named Burrow.
Trevor Lawrence, a dominant front runner all season, a come from behind hero tonight.
We got tested, I think we passed, so we got one more left.
3 months ago, people were asking, what's wrong with Trevor Lawrence? Now with one game to go, he's exactly where we expected him to be.
Huh. How about that?
Pretty simple.
Throw it 5 to 20 yards.
Well, no. I think this one's an easy debate.
Yeah.
Regarding Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. And again, we're getting ahead of ourselves because we don't know what's going to happen Monday night.
Sure.
But if we go into the premise that Clemson wins this game, he has yet to lose a game. He'll be 2 years into his career. He's got 2 national championships. And he's looking at a junior year where, you know, probably going to be pretty good again. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those all-time legacy games. If you can put this one in your back pocket, 2's greater than 1, Wes.
It's remarkable. In many respects.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you would argue. I mean, Deshaun Watson's an incredible player.
Mm-hmm.
Will go down in history in Clemson lore as one of the all-time greats. And, you know, when he beat Alabama and they slayed the Giant,
right?
Hunter Renfrow touchdown and the earth shook down there in Tampa. It's a moment that if you're a Clemson fan, you'll take that one to your grave. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence saw Alabama. In fact, saw the greatest team ever and beat the living daylights out of them. So if he beats the LSU's greatest team ever, and goes 2 for 2 in the national championship department. Catch you later. I mean, the good news, if you're a Clemson fan, you've had both these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Coach O the other day was talking about, man, if you don't have a great quarterback, you can't win these championship games. I think he's 100% right.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to Ed Orgeron's comments, too, because I think that comment in particular is correct.
Yeah. And I think it's true on every level.
And he sounded like he was incredibly excited about the game Monday night just as a fan. You know, obviously, he's got a coach in it. But when you watch the 2 cubes on tape, I mean, Joe Burrow's been phenomenal. He's the number one pick in the draft. This guy, as Brad just noted, Lawrence, I thought people were being way too critical early.
Of course.
With the misses, but – he made throws from about week four on that were just lights out good. And, you know, it got better as the year went on. And now we've gotten to this stage Monday night. And there's a lot of reason to be excited about watching the 2 QBs go to work.
And I know we're talking quarterbacks, but I need to give a shout out to Chris Felica, the Bear.
Hmm.
He has a stat that he put on Twitter yesterday that I had to rub my eyes to make sure that was right. But in the last 3 college football playoff games,
that
Clemson's played, beat Notre Dame like a drum, beat Alabama like a drum, beat a really great Ohio State team. Clemson's defense has 9 sacks in the second half of those games. Clemson's defense in the second half of those games has given up a grand total of 7 points. They have more sacks than points given up in the second half in their last 3 college football playoff games.
So you're saying the ball game Monday night is a second half game?
I just think that, you know, we're sitting here getting to give all this love to quarterbacks, as we should, right? And again, when you have 2 weeks to prepare and hype a game, you're going to cover every angle known to man.
Yeah, you break it down sideways.
Right, and both quarterbacks are awesome, right? Nobody's going to argue that. But I do think the winner of the game Monday night is the team's defense that plays the best red zone D. Because I think both teams are going to move it. I do. I think both teams can get up and down the field. I don't think LSU's defense is nearly as good as Ohio State's. I think LSU's offense is better than Ohio State's.
Agree.
So I think they're both going to get inside that 20, 25-yard line. Now, who can – again, 7s versus 3s. I think that's the ballgame.
As much as we talk about QBs and possessions and all sorts of things like that, I still somehow think Monday night comes down to 2 guys, Travis Etienne and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Somehow or another, this game, Burrow and Lawrence are going to have their stage, right? And they'll be on the main stage, the one in the middle of the field. But the guys that are on the periphery, who's going to play a big role in this game on the periphery? That's going to be interesting. And I still think Clemson's ability to run the ball is going to be pretty interesting. For instance, if you win the toss Monday night, if Clemson wins the toss Monday night, do you take the ball?
That's a good question. I've thought about that this week. You and I have not had this conversation.
Well, do you take the ball?
I think I would.
I don't think I would.
I would.
Because you want to have the first crack to put points on the board?
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Clemson's now played in an absolute knockdown, drag out, pressure situation, playoff game. That, mm-hmm. that Ohio State game was one of the best games I've seen in a long, long time.
Sure.
LSU's been playing loose and free. They saw Georgia. They destroyed Georgia. Georgia had nothing for them.
Right.
They saw Oklahoma. It was like, man, please, get off of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time LSU's been in this game?
Les Miles.
All right. How'd that go?
They created the college football playoff the next morning at the Hilton Hotel.
It was in the same building. I was there. They crossed midfield once in that game. I think that if you're Clemson.
By the way, you remember that? They created the college football playoff. The basis for the college football playoff was the next
people
morning.
People had enough. People had had – the nation had had enough.
There is a story that we probably need to tell at some point tomorrow or maybe even Monday's show is slammed, by the way. It's going to be a spectacular Packer and Durham.
But back to the game, I think if you're Clemson, you want to play keep away, number one.
Totally agree.
Right?
Yep.
Hey, Joe Burrow can't score if he doesn't have the ball.
That's why ETN's important.
No question. You got to establish the run. And I think Clemson can run on LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I do. So I want to put – if I'm Clemson, I want to put pressure on LSU to go, hey, yeah, it's cool you got 80,000 people in here screaming. Well, now you're down 7-0. Here's our defense. Y'all go. Tag, you're it.
Yeah, I think
you want to put pressure on LSU because I told you the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I spent a lot of time in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I know.
And I love it down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've also seen them turn on themselves. They turn on each other more than anybody I know of. And if all of a sudden you got 80,000 down there going crazy and that thing starts getting a little sideways, I'm just telling you, man, you know, Xavier Thomas this week was talking about, man, we're the road dogs. Venables has already got it in their head, we're road dogs. We love the fact that we're going to walk through that tunnel and 80,000 people are going to boo us. We live for this.
Mm-hmm.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Jay Billis will be walking through those doors, perhaps, top of the hour. You know, if he's running late, I'm convinced because of his wife, Wendy, who's like, oh, you're going back over to Pac's house? Hey, here's some more stuff you can take. That's what I think's going to happen.
Ed Orgeron, you mentioned this a moment ago, has said this week, I think it's fantastic. It goes to show you play in a championship. You got to have a great quarterback, number one. Every championship I've been with, a great quarterback. Hard to get the championship without one. Go Tigers.
He's right. I mean, now, I will tell you, there were some quarterbacks.
The boys in Bristol, by the way, they just shuddered at me. Oh, we have the actual sound of this.
Well, that's even better.
Well, this will be better
Let's
than
go to the
that,
original.
That pocket yeah. psycho impression I just did. Here's Coach O on this.
I think it's fantastic. It goes to show you to play in the championship, you got to have a great quarterback, number one. In every championship I've been, we had great quarterbacks, and it's hard to get to the championship without one. I do believe, as a fan, you look at these two great quarterbacks playing. They're going to be playing in the NFL for a long time. They're leading the team. You got to be proud of both of them. They broke character, young men. It's what college football is all about.
100% right. Coach O is right. What?
Pressure was pretty good.
I mean, everybody does O, though. Come on. Everybody can do Coach O. That's it. I mean, come on. Everybody's got that. But Coach O's right. The only thing I would tell you, though, the only group that would maybe question that would be Alabama.
Yeah.
Because Alabama, no disrespect to some that won national championships that were just okay. But they had surrounded themselves with such superior talent that they were able to just kind of manage the game. But for the most part, you better have a great quarterback if you expect to win the championship. I agree with Coach on that.
We got calls?
We do, a bunch from South Carolina. I think Joe in South Carolina is up next. Joe, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is a two-parter. First one you can use as a barker bite if you want to. If Trevor wins the national championship Monday night with the team, what chances does he have of being in New York next year for the Heisman Trophy? And do you think that all the stuff about him not throwing so many interceptions kept him from being there this year? And my second part of the question is, if Clemson beats North Carolina this weekend, can you say that North Carolina may be the worst North Carolina team ever? Because since Clemson never won. Thanks.
No. The second question is easy.
Second question is no.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence and the Heisman is an interesting study, in my opinion, in media. Because I think a lot of the media and analysts were quick to run and jump at the first mark, at the first error. And did he make some bad throws? Absolutely. I mean, he made some bad throws, tried to fit the ball in a window a couple times. Didn't work out. Didn't mean he was a bad quarterback. But after 3 weeks of the regular season, I mean, you were like, people were making it out to be far worse than it was, Pack.
I told you during the season that Clemson football was being judged by a different set of rules and standards than any other team in America. And that was true as a team, from an individual standpoint, and everything else. And, you know, after they made a lot of people look stupid and foolish with a national narrative about Alabama last year when Clemson beat them by 4 touchdowns, there were a bunch of people that took it almost a personal standpoint that, all right, they're not going to make me look bad this year. I'm just going to squelch all that nonsense.
Right.
Hey, just go play, man. All these awards, if you play well, you win big games, you win championships, all this other stuff follows you.
Yeah.
And it's really that simple. It's not the other way around. So for next year, you know, regardless of what happens on Monday night, if Trevor Lawrence plays next year like he has since October the 1st, he'll be in New York City. Pretty simple.
Yeah. Carl, next. Is that
Carl in South Carolina.
Long-time listener, long-time caller.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fabulous.
Good to speak with you. Yeah, I hope you guys, well, Pack up. You have a good time in New Orleans. I'm sure you will. But I was just calling to give my prediction for the game. And I know you guys are probably going to go off on this, but I see Clemson winning this thing by 23.
I knew it.
Let me just say something for folks that are watching us.
I knew it.
That are probably maybe screaming like Wes is doing on it. I will say this.
I knew he would do this.
Carl in South Carolina, when we were doing the Central on radio, right? This show on radio.
Yeah.
Carl would literally call up every week and go, boys, I like Clemson by 42 this week. And you and I would react the same way.
Oh,
and we'd watch the game. It'd be 52 to 10.
And
we'd be like, you know what? Doggone Carl's all over.
Carl the Greek.
Carl was uncanny.
Yeah.
When he would call up and make these kind of comments, and people go, what's this guy? And then all of a sudden you watch the game and go, man, the guy was pretty close. So why do you think it'll be a 3-touchdown game, Carl?
Well, you're exactly right. When you were talking earlier in the week about ETN being the key to this thing, they got to keep the ball on the ground. Clemson's 17-0 in games where ETN's rushed for more than 100 yards. So the you know, Trevor showed last week that he's an addition to that run piece. They can mix it up there with the RPO. Keep the ball out of Burrow's hands, keep him on the sideline. That's going to be a key to it. And then, you know, if we can pound them with the run early and make them respect the run, then I think that's going to open up some big strike looks for Trevor with T and Justin, and he's going to hit on a couple of those because Trevor's proved that he has his biggest games on the biggest stages. He performs his best. So I also think that Venables is probably going to try to shrink the field on Burrow and rely on the defense playing some really tight lockdown red zone defense like we have. But I see that being the mix. I see us having a big second quarter like we have historically throughout the year and putting some points on the board that kind of breaks their will because LSU hasn't faced any adversity this year, and they're getting ready to come in and play the number one pass defense in the nation, and I think that that's going to change the game on them.
All right. Good stuff. There it is.
Carl has spoken. Bet the house on it. Tigers, who are what, a 5 or 6 point dog?
By the way, ETN.
Carl says the Clemson Tigers by 23.
ETN, 17-0 when Clemson is 17-0 when he rushes for 100 and more. 24-2 when he rushes for under 100. Guess who's here? Guess
come
who's coming
in?
Look at this.
Come
just come on, live television, whatever. Look at Jay Billis is here, kids. Come on, get out of the way.
This is how we roll.
Look at this. We're just rolling. Look.
Oh,
Billis brought breakfast.
That.
Look at this.
Is that how we roll
the chair? Good to see you, my man.
People think this show is scripted.
No, this show's not scripted.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.